Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you love this podcast.
All right, welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Week 3, or Team 3 preview, I guess. Always hanging out with Chris Andres, Matt Kennerly. Website, mwcconnection.com. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing all right.
Doing okay.
You doing okay? You're surviving, Chris?
Yes.
Good to know. So this is the Nevada show, and we'll get right to it, because our UNLV show is approximately 80 minutes of pure gold. Is that fair to say, pure gold?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure pure gold, but I would say that the information was there that I think nobody talks about UNLV football for that long of time in one setting.
That is probably correct. So here's what we're going to do really quick. From the last show to this show, we got some Vegas insiders gave us some win totals, so let's, for a brief moment, chat about the first 2 weeks, or first two teams.
All right.
So, the first game team was Hawaii. Apparently, we're spot on. They say 2.5. And so, I think we all said 2 or 3 wins. So, Matt, if you had to pick, actually, I could just look it up here. You picked 2 wins, because you picked UMass and FCS. So, you would take the under, I'm assuming, still at this point?
Yes, I would.
Still early enough, and would you take the over, Chris, since I think you chose 3 wins?
Do I have 3-9?
I think so.
Yeah, you both have 3-9.
Not that much has changed in the past couple of weeks, but just put it out there. So
yeah, I'll take the over for it. Whatever. It's one of those things that it's like 2 wins, 3 wins. One shows improvement, one can seemingly show improvement, but it really doesn't matter.
I think it shows we're smart because we know what's going on between 2 and 3 wins, right? That's my takeaway.
Everything is pointless. Mount West football is here. Eat it, Milo Subs.
All right. The next, what do we do real quick? UNLV, they're sitting at 5.5, and I guess we're exact same things. We all pick 6 or 7 wins. Except for Chris, who sees a ceiling of maybe 9 wins.
Ceiling. Very specific. Ceiling.
That's if everything breaks right.
Best case scenario. It's not going to happen.
I listened to the end of that show, and I kept trying to have you say 10 wins at the end.
I noticed.
I failed at that, but okay. So we're on track. We're working on that. So that's
Matt,
good.
Do you have something to say? I overheard you real quick.
Me?
Matt.
Oh, no, I didn't have anything.
Let's get to Nevada. Or is it Nevada?
It's Nevada.
Leave this podcast right now.
Do you ever watch Veep, Chris?
No.
Well, do you watch it, Matt?
I do not.
Well, just a real quick, it's about Vice President Julia Louis-Dreyfus is on there, and they're like in season 5 or something, but there's this latest season, there's a recount in the state of Nevada, and there's a big to-do. Is it Nevada or Nevada? It's just a funny scene, but that's why I mentioned both names. But it doesn't matter to you guys, because you don't watch the show, so the people who watch me might get a little chuckle. So
is it Wolfpack one word or Wolfpack two words? It is.
Wait, what school are you referring to? Nevada or North Carolina State?
I'm referring to Nevada.
It's two words. NC State's one word. Wolfpack.
That's so weird.
It is weird. It is. That's nothing about it. That's more weird than Nevada or Nevada.
No, because Nevada is correct. Everybody else who's not from Nevada always pronounces it Nevada, which is wrong.
It is Nevada. What about Oregon?
Oh, stop. I'm going to stop the show right now.
Matt is going to leave. He's going to take his like master's that he's working on. He's just going to walk on right out of here.
See, the Nevada is, I don't think it's as big a deal, but Oregon is the stupidest thing ever.
Oregon is like a Northeast thing.
Yeah, because I remember one of the recent, well, in the past decade, one of the presidential elections, I think it was maybe Tim Brokaw, kept going Oregon. I'm like, no, it's not Oregon.
We're moving on.
Let's get to Nevada football. That's what we want to talk about. So the big news in Reno out there is that Chris Olt's still in Italy coaching football somewhere, having fun.
Doing well, apparently.
Yeah, doing really well. I tried to look. He wasn't the coach for that team that did that touch football at the D3 school, was he?
I don't think so. Last I saw, I was looking it up earlier, and I randomly come across this thing where apparently his team is undefeated, and they're averaging like 38 points a game, so good for him.
The Pistols were taking over Europe.
The Pistols still working?
Apparently.
They've never seen it over there before.
They've never seen tackle football.
Dude, I can totally... This will be an off-podcast conversation.
No, you can't say that and stop.
I totally want to go like see a Rhinos Milano game now.
Okay. Okay. So, because you're going to Europe, so you need to see what the schedule is going to be like, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Look into that. Are you going to go to it really quick? Are you going to any? Are you going to be there during the Europe Cup or whatever it's called?
For like the last 4 days, but I'm not going to be in France.
Okay, I just wondered. Okay. The big news for Nevada really is that the Pistol might be dead.
Long live the Pistol.
Is it shooting blanks? That was stupid.
Matt, we should have done the podcast without Jeremy tonight.
But the real news is that Pistol might be gone. Nick Rolovich, as we discussed in our Hawaii show, is now the Hawaii head coach, who's not taking the Pistol to the island. He's taking some sort of spread attacker, hybrid, pro-style, shotgun, pro-set. They got get to know Coach Kramsey Tim Kramsey from Montana State, and also if you go back further, I should say, he was hanging out with Chip Kelly in New Hampshire, learning some offense.
Nice.
So let's start with that. So Matt, you said you did the most research. I'm assuming by doing some research.
Yes.
What do you have to know about Tim Kramsey? What do we know about Coach Kramsey?
So. You know, we can probably link to the Q&A that the Wolfpack website did with him over the offseason. I think it was like sometime last month. One of the things that he had mentioned, which I had totally forgotten about, was that he, you know, in his time at Montana State, you know, his quarterback last year is the guy that transferred to Oregon, Dakota Prukop. So I went onto YouTube as amateur
scout
analysts like myself do. And I looked at what this guy's highlights looked like to kind of get a sense of what the Montana State offense looked like. And, you know, for Wolfpack fans out there, it looked a lot different. You know, we talked about, you know, Jeremy mentioned Chip Kelly, and there's a lot of shades of Oregon in the offense. There was a lot of 3 and 4 receiver sets. At least as far as the highlights that I saw, it was almost exclusively from the shotgun, you know, single back in the backfield with him, you know, a lot of rolling out, a lot of zone reads, fake zone reads, lots of throws down the field. And so that, you know, to again, I start the discussion about quarterbacks. I think that's where Nevada is going to make its bones this year is what kind of step does the passing offense take this year? To me, I think that makes Tyler Stewart one of the more important players in the conference. What do you guys think?
So can I give a really hot take real quick?
Yes.
Go for it. Go ahead, Stephen A.
So what you're saying is they bring in this guy who learned the Chip Kelly offense, okay, which is hurry up, no huddle, almost a blur offense, but it's taken snaps from the shotgun. And lots of scrambling, but lots of throwing downfield. Compared to a pistol offense in which the quarterback stands 4 yards behind the center, and the running back stands 7 yards behind the center, so 3 yards back total, and will involve lots of running and lots of throwing downfield. And so, basically, by eliminating, quote-unquote, eliminating the pistol, you're looking to bring in an offense that is really not that much different than the pistol.
I could see that a little bit.
You know, I guess, you know, a lot of the base concepts are a lot the same. I was looking at the breakdown of, like, rushing attempts to passing attempts, because obviously you don't want to read too much into, you know, 10 minutes worth of highlights. And Montana State actually ran the ball more than they threw the ball last year. Prukrop only had 380 attempts, but they ran the ball as a team 458 times. Ooh. You know, to me, the big difference is that last year, Prukrop averaged 8.8 yards per pass. And if you look at Tyler Stewart's numbers from last year, you know, of the quarterbacks in the conference who qualified as far as quarterback rating goes, Stewart by far was the worst as far as yards per attempt. He was down there at 6.6. You know, I thought he would be better than I think either you or Chris thought he would be going into last year. And so I was a little bit disappointed with, you know, the numbers overall.
That's what our guy Dana Connolly, same thing, does Nevada stuff. He's like, do they have a good quarterback? What's going on?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, a lot of the highlights, you know, Prukrop is throwing, like, down the field. Like, guys are getting open, you know, 20, 30, 40 yards downfield. And that wasn't something that you really saw with Nevada a year ago. You know, you didn't see Stewart making that many plays down the field.
Even though they have, I can argue, well, in my opinion, I think Sean Henderson is one of the most underrated receivers, and part of that could be quarterback play can't get him the ball, similar as I was a big fan of Carlos Wiggins at New Mexico. When Sean Henderson has a good game, he can go off for a big game, but he either, it's not all on the quarterback, but he's a guy that is a playmaker that could be a big difference if they can get him the ball.
This is more of like a Devontae Boyd type situation like we were talking about last week. But more so than that,
Boyd puts up stats, though. He can do it. Henderson, eh.
More so than that, I guess this is my argument for trying to maintain the pistol, but I see the fact that you need to release it. They're bringing in a guy who's going to develop his own offense that hopefully gives Nevada somewhat of a new identity. But really, the last 2 years under Polian's belt, the pistol really hasn't been run properly. And I think, you know, if they had brought in an offensive coordinator who helped either develop that system or has a thorough understanding, maybe the system could be improved from there. I don't think this is at all a Tyler Stewart thing. I think this is just an understanding of the offense type thing.
That's true, because finish up.
So maybe that is where bringing a new offensive coordinator, bringing a new offensive scheme will help. But I guess that, like, for me, trying to remove Nevada from pistol is mind-boggling, because I've been, you know, Jeremy, you've been following the Mountain West a long time, and I've been following the WAC into the Mountain West for a long time. I mean, my senior year of high school is when the pistol was developed, and there was just tons of news kind of talking about it. Oh, this is a brand new thing, it's really innovative, everything like that. And it really not just becomes affiliated with Chris Ault, but should have also become affiliated with Nevada in the process. And you're basically allowing something to leave of that.
See, I don't think that the pistol is going away, you know, because I was looking at that same Q&A, and one of the quotes that jumped out to me is that, you know, Kranzi himself said that we want the defense to have to prepare for everything. And so, you know, when he says everything, to me, that includes the pistol. And, you know, Jeremy and I have talked about that spring game in the past where they were very heavily reliant on the run. But to me, if you're going to run the pistol, you have to be able to make plays in the passing game. And if you compare, you know, the big plays that Stewart made versus other quarterbacks in the conference, you know, Brett Rypien last year had 21 plays, passing plays over 30 yards. Nick Stevens had 17, right? Even Carson Roberts out in the Air Force had 18. How many do you think Tyler Stewart had last year? 30 yards or more?
10?
He had seven.
Seven, okay.
And he had just two over 40 yards. And I think that if this offense, if this offensive transition is going to be successful, he's going to have to do better than that.
It is, but like you said, I pull up the numbers right here. I think it was, what, 60 to 74 run to pass? Or 60 rushes to, I think, 64, 74 passing plays. It was something ridiculously skewed. And I wish I had it in front of me. What we just know is a lot. It was a lot to a little. I think it was like 80% run. And here's the thing, like going back to the pistol, whether they prepare for it or not, I think with it, if anybody's seen what Chip Kelly's done with Mark Heflich, has done to Oregon, the pistol could fit right in to that style of play. Whether they could mix in the diamond formation, it could just be another wrinkle where they may run the pistol 10 or 15 plays a game, because if they're going to run that fast, we can see 100 plays easily. And if only 10% is the pistol, it's just another wrinkle you have to worry about. It could be the exact same play they run with split backfield or under center or whatever formation they have, but it could be the same play, run out of the pistol, run out of the diamond, run out of three wide receiver sets, and that's what he could be meaning by everything is up for grabs, they need to know. And this will be a big key as we get to the schedule. Cal Poly, they'll show nothing. I'm starting to think about, they might give Notre Dame a big run for their money on the road in week two, because Brian Kelly and those guys will know basically nothing about what Nevada's going to be doing. Come on. Lean into it.
No.
I have my doubts.
Yeah, Notre Dame has had to deal with both Air Force and Navy the last 4 years. They're not scared about some little pistol spread offense thing.
No, I'm just saying it's a new offense. They don't know really what to expect. That's what I'm getting at.
I mean, I think if they've seen one spread offense, you've probably seen 100 spread offenses. I mean, that's the same kind of offense that Notre Dame runs themselves. So it's the kind of thing that I think they'd be able to prepare for. But we'll get to that at some point.
All right.
So start the players, team. What do you want?
Do we really need to talk about Tyler Stewart anymore?
Well, okay, so then in that case, you know, I think where this new offense can really help is the fact that, you know, Nevada could have a very, very potent 1-2 punch on the ground in the backfield with James Butler and Akil Lynch.
Penn State transfer Akil Lynch.
Absolutely. That was a big transfer that they picked up.
Because, I mean, I went back and I watched some of his highlights, too. You know, that's not a guy that's going to blow you away with top-end speed. But he gives them a dimension on the ground as far as, you know, being able to run people over. And when you consider that they also have a lot of experience coming back along the line, I think Bill C's his preview mentioned that they had like six guys who started games last year who are coming back. You know, if Nevada wants to, you know, line up and use that spread offense to get, you know, running lanes inside with Lynch and Butler, you know, I see that as a likely path to success, if anything.
It's actually eight guys started a game last year.
Oh, is it that many?
Yeah, eight.
I have to say, I do love that 1-2 running back punch of James Butler and Akil Lynch. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that's going to be the strength of the offense. Because, like I said, we're still not sure what we're going to get with Tyler Stewart. And, you know, you've got two really big targets in Jericho Richardson and Hassan Henderson, but if you're not being able to hit it, you have to depend on your running game.
You do, and look at Butler, like, his last few games outside of San Diego State, like, he ran for 1,300 yards. That bowl game versus the Rams almost 8 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns, 189. He's tearing it up. Like, versus Utah State's very good defense, 8 yards a carry last year, a pair of touchdowns. Hawaii's nothing special. Buffalo, whatever. He ran for 107 in a blowout loss to Texas A&M in week three. He's a guy that could be talking about on par with Donnell Pumphrey, Brian Hill in that same neighborhood as one of the best running back, Jeremy McNichols as one of the best running backs. He was fifth in the conference last year, yards per game. And I don't see why, if it's him and if he can do what he did last year, and if they're going to run as much as they are, his carries will improve. And if he's still able to get six, he averaged 6.5 yards per carry. That's more than a yard than Tyler Irvin. And he had such big play explosiveness. And that's almost a yard more than Brian Hill per carry last year. And both those guys are known for huge runs.
Yeah. What's interesting to me too, is that if you look at the split stats, you know, he's a guy who's efficient, not only on first down, but he, you know, by yards per carry, he got better on second down. And then he got better on third down as well. You know, it's kind of a small sample size of 25 carries, but he averaged 7.8 yards per carry on third down and was able to convert for first downs half the time. So, you know, if he's a guy who finds his groove in this new offense, he could absolutely run for like 1,500 yards easy.
That's only 150 more than last year.
Yeah, but here's the issue. And here's the issue that I'm having with what both of you are saying. Last year, Nevada treated Don Jackson and James Butler as a 1A, 1B type combo. You see the split rushes.
Yeah.
You see that it was pretty split evenly. This year, we don't know that's going to happen again. We don't know if Butler's going to be a 1A, Akil Lynch is going to be a 1B, because if that does happen, then Butler will have the same amount of rushes as he did last year, and Akil Lynch will have much, much more, be asked much more of him. But if they do a more Oregon-style offense, James Butler is going to be the primary guy of that offense, and that number of 209 rushes jumps up to probably almost double in 400, 500 rushes. Your yards per carry, I don't expect that number to stay up, and you don't know how James Butler is going to fare as a primary-only back instead of a split back.
See, I think
but 200 that many yards. Like, looking at the national average last year, you have Derrick Henry 395 as most attempts. That's huge. His 208, do you say, was that right? 208, 209.
Yeah,
that's 44th in the country. So he's already getting like top, like out of how many backs, that's top third in the country carries. If he jumps up just to 260, that's top 15, just about. But I get your point. Could be correct, Chris, because if they go Oregon, they go that fast, that many plays. And if what me and Matt discussed, the ratio to run to pass is that much more, could they have 500 carries between the, like 600 carries between the two running backs?
Okay, so here's the question I want to pose then. Last year, as a team, in 13 games, they had 556 carries. Does that number go up or down in 2016?
Goes up.
Do you include quarterback carries?
Yes. I'm going to by CFB stats, it just says rushing attempts. So I'm assuming that means everything, including sacks and stuff like that.
Okay. So how many did you say again?
556.
That number goes way up.
I don't know. Well, I don't know how much are they going to run Stewart, though? Because if you look at what he did last year, like his running.
He only ran 78 times last year. And I say only, but that was significant in the amount.
So what, six a game about? Five, six a game, something like that.
A little more than six a game.
It's kind of a lot for a quarterback.
Yeah, and see, you know, I think that's the kind of thing. I mean, if you look at what Kranzi did at Montana State, if I'm looking at this correctly, let's see. In 11 games, Prukop had 158 carries.
That's it. Oh, for quarterback. Jeez.
Yeah.
So there, he's asking a lot more rushing of Tyler Stewart, potentially.
And I don't see why that's not. I mean, I to me, that's kind of a good idea because, you know, he's a guy that can, it's, you know, what, he's like 6'4", 220. That's a guy that can get you some hard fought yards if you need them.
Well, he's certainly not going to throw it.
Do you have his reception totals that year from last year?
Prukop?
Oh, no, sorry. I was thinking of, sorry. I So I'm looking up one thing and looking at something else. I apologize. Never mind. I'll look into it later. I was trying to compare like LaMichael James or somebody from Oregon a couple years ago to see kind of that type of. So going back into the Wayback Machine to kind of see a comparison from running backs.
Well, it seems like their number one running back was a guy named Chad Newell. And in the passing offense last year, he had 30 catches.
So nothing significant, really.
It didn't seem like it, though. And then it seemed like the guy behind him added another 22. Which, if you kind of look at what Butler and Jackson did as a duo last year, isn't that kind of the same ratio?
Yeah, they had 24 total between the two.
Oh, yeah, 24 targets.
Oh, no. Oh, targets. Oh, geez, sorry. 14 receptions. And yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's another way, you know, that's something else you could see emerging in this offense is, you know, being able to get the running backs out in space and just let them make plays.
It's just hard to know at the moment without really, with the spring game being so deceitful because you don't know what it is. We don't really know a ton from Montana State or even New Hampshire outside of the some concepts and look at a few things or like you've been doing math numbers. It's hard to know what's exactly going to happen.
So I'm looking at Chad Newell's regular season stats last year. This is Montana State, the running back. And Pruka. Chad Newell only attempted 142 yards for 154 attempts for 842 yards. That's a 5.4 average. But Prukop attempted more rushes than he did. If we're taking Kramsey's new offense and placing it directly in Nevada, Stewart is going to have just as many carries as Butler will.
And see, I don't think that's going to happen, though.
Think it's going to happen. I don't think it can happen.
I can see more than 78, maybe. Maybe 10 a game.
Lot more than 78, but I...
Because if we even go to, let's say, even 112, that's only 10 a game. And that's, even with the pistol offense, that's not out of the ordinary too much. We go back to Colin Kaepernick, Cody Fajardo, that's slightly on the high end, but it's not out of the ordinary to see him run 10 times.
Well, I also think that those two guys were kind of the exception to the rule. They were bred for the pistol, and they knew exactly how to run the pistol. I don't think, like I said, I don't think Tyler Stewart has been properly taught that yet.
Now, but he's still a runner because you're getting 6 yards a carry. That's still doing good things at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, if you compare it to Fajardo's last year, Fajardo averaged 5.9 yards a carry, and he ran it 177 times.
Whoa.
So, you know, you could be asking the quarterback to run a new system. And, you know, Kranzi himself said that Tyler Stewart had a pretty good spring. You would just be asking the quarterback to shoulder a similar kind of responsibility in a new system.
It's just tough to know. It's like, because he could, I don't know, it's just difficult. But I think even if we don't account for Stewart running more than did last year, if they go run heavy, they have the guys. If Butler's to getting 2-to-1 kit ratio carries double from Lynch, and then whatever Stewart gets, I think they'll be fine moving the ball. And then like they have a good receiving core. If we move on to that, at least they should. The catch rate it'd be better, but when you have your top four receivers back, like you said, Jericho Richardson, Hashawn Henderson, Wyatt Demps, and Jared Gibson, the tight end, they have the talent back, the release returning talent, to be successful. And look at their whole offense returns. Like even we could go to the line, offensive line. 8 guys had a start last year.
Yeah,
4 guys had double digit starts. 5 guys have double digit career starts.
They're so experienced, but next year they're going to lose so much. Right. But I'm just saying with that experience, we should have more answers than questions.
This is a team, like, I know San Diego State's an overwhelming favorite, but if there's any team that could put a scare to win the West, I think Nevada would be my number two team. I think I mentioned it in the past couple of shows. Looking at them more closely, I think they are the second best team out West.
I mean, to me, Nevada kind of strikes me as the poor man's San Diego State, even though they don't really run the same kind of offense. You know, I know that you're really high on Henderson. I'm kind of lukewarm on him personally, just because he hasn't had the breakout, I think, that a lot of people in the Mountain West expected. You know, he his catch rate is under 60% last year. And, you know, if he's going to be the guy, he's going to have to bring that number up. He's probably going to be a critical part of Tyler Stewart's success.
I'm sort of lukewarm on Sean Henderson. We've seen brilliant flashes of him, but we've also seen very average performances on his end as well.
That's part I'm looking at as well. Like, he'll have a couple hundred yard games and he'll go 2 for 16 for receptions. And like we said with UNLV, like, they could have the best receiving core. I know I'm probably speaking too high, but when they have two of the top five guys back in Nevada's Henderson and Richardson there, two of the top six, excuse me, but you lose Hunter Sharp's gone, Rashard Higgins is gone. They could have the two, those two guys could combine for, again, we don't know what they're throwing for, but based off last year, this could be, and if Stewart, I know people aren't hiring Stewart, he's, like you said, he needs to go downfield more and improve a few things, but they could have overall one of the better passing offenses, at least in efficiency wise, by how many receptions they're getting, with just the returning talent they have. But if, again, new offense, it's like, come on, we don't. It's just, I know we're talking, we're each of us saying, like, okay, we think we know what's going to happen, but we don't really know what's going to happen. When they throw under 15 times in a spring game, it's like, I don't know. These guys could have 60 receptions between them both because they weren't 80% of the time.
See, I don't think that's going to happen, but I think
I don't.
That, you know, the question surrounding this offense is,
well, and the reason why, and the reason why the questions, and the reason why the questions surrounding this offense are so big, is because we have a pretty good feeling that the big weakness of this team is going to be the defense. You're not just losing.
Yeah, you lose. You're not just losing Ian Sale.
You're losing Joaquin Yates. You're losing Lenny Jones. Sure. You're losing Kevin McReynolds. That is your four. Those were your four starters last year up on the defensive line.
Not only that, you're losing your entire linebacker core.
I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah, it's.
I knew there was a handful of guys gone. I didn't realize it was that many.
You are losing a defense that has combined over, let's just do a rough estimate here, 8 to 10, almost 300 tackles.
300
losing
tackles.
A defense that had almost 300 tackles between those eight people.
Not 50 tackles for loss as well, it looks like, and about 20 sacks.
Yeah, and I mean, they were middle, I mean, they were kind of middle of the pack as far as team sacks as well, but even then you're losing, you know, Seau had 10 sacks, Lenny Jones had 7 sacks, you know, Rykeem Yates in the middle had a couple of sacks. You know,
who's going to step up and replace that kind of production? Could get ugly on Nevada's defensive line.
Well, see, I don't know. I think that, you know, Napoleon's recruited pretty well over the last couple of years. You know, you can look at Bill C's preview and see that he's got at least a few 3-star recruits along the line. And I think one guy who could step into that tradition of, you know, Ian Seau and then Brock Hecking before him is, you know, this guy, Patrick.
Chuja.
I'm probably going to pronounce the last name. Chuja?
Chuja?
Yeah, because one of the things that they made a note of is that, you know, he did get some playing time last year. He didn't play a whole ton of snaps, but in the limited time that he did have a sack. He did have a couple of tackles for loss. So, you know, if you're looking for – oh, wait, no, I'm looking at the wrong line. Excuse me. But I think if you're looking for the next great Nevada pass rusher, he could be the guy to watch.
And he's got essentially – 2 years to do it. He's going to be a junior this year. And, I mean, that's a perfect time to develop into your team leader.
Yeah, they just need guys to step up quickly and learn how to play because you lose your stop front seven. That's a big deal.
Well, I mean, it's not just that. It's like, you know, the whole next man up philosophy means that these guys, not just, you know, Chuja, but guys like Corey Rush and Salisa Faraimo are going to step into starting roles and they're going to contribute. to me, the bigger question is who's going to step up behind them to keep them fresh.
That's a, yeah, it's a good point, because you lose your first string, your everybody moves up a spot. And we still have the week one, Cal Poly, where they will have a chance to at least hopefully sort that out to a degree where they have a more or less established first and second set, or first set and rotational second set.
Yeah, the secondary definitely looks to be the strength.
Secondary looks good, though, I'll say that.
You've got the biggest person returning back is Damian Baber. Yeah, freshman All-American, had six
interceptions. Freshman All-American last year.
And that's definitely something to look forward to. I mean, this could be the next Darian Thompson, you know, in play for the Mount West.
Well, I mean, it's not just him. You know, you got other guys in the secondary who, you know, Asani Rufus, wasn't he – I mean, was it last year, the year – yeah. Who am I thinking of that had, like, three interceptions against Fresno State? Was that Baber?
Yeah, it was – yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind.
that guy. I mean,
but, you know, these are guys who were getting kind of a crash course in figuring out how to cover receivers when the pass rush for – you know, the stars that they had along the defensive line didn't get home as often as you would like. And so, you know, you got all these guys who started at least 10 games last year, Rufus, Baber, and then, you know, Kendall Johnson and Elijah Mitchell at corner. You know, all of these guys have another year of experience, you know, but the question is, to, you know, are they going to be stuck in the same situation again where they're having to cover people forever, or are they going to be able to make more plays?
And, you know,
plays?
The easy way to defeat a secondary, right?
It's going
to
be both. It's both, probably.
Short routes what's cut straight into the linebacking core, or cut on the outside.
There's that, yeah.
And then just go from there.
There's that, and also, or that too, that's the simple, most easiest way. The other way is, which they probably don't want to see at all, is that there's no pass rush at all, and they give whoever's QB, give Brett Rippon 6 seconds to throw the ball against this Nevada secondary.
I would say that, but they don't play Boise State this year.
Well, I'm just an example, the best quarterback of the conference, and that's a sad remark, they're not playing this year, but give Christian Chapman that much time, and he might do some damage.
Jimmy Clausen, yes, there we go.
Jimmy Clausen?
Yes.
Rolled up with his limo and four high school title rings and his spiked hairdo.
Are we done talking about the players?
All right. Should we get to some games now?
Sure.
No.
Do you have anything else to add? Then we're done talking about the players.
Oh, wait, hold on.
All right, so
should be Mount West
Cal Poly victory. Guy. There should be no reason at all, correct? Okay, Brett Zuzo, kicker. Okay.
The Mountain West has a lot of really good kickers this year.
They really do. I mean, we've got three teams now, and what? You have Rigoberto Sanchez, you have Brent Zuzo, and you have Nikolai Bornand. And all three of those guys are going to be solid.
Are we done with this year?
So we're done with?
Unless San Diego State doesn't recruit.
Are we done with the Seamus years in?
Seamus McMorro.
Yeah, Seamus, remember that guy? Yes. All right, let's get to the games here. Cal Poly, they'll be victorious. Week
Bill
two.
C's win probability is quote unquote only 86%.
What's that?
That's because Cal Poly is a decent team.
Did they beat Fresno recently?
No, but they gave, but they did. They did frustrate Fresno a couple.
Or was it San Diego? Or was it San Diego State they beat a while back?
I mean, this was like six or seven years ago. They're not gonna beat an FBS team, but they will frustrate them.
Then that's a good challenge, and I guess for the week one, if you're a new head coach, a new offense, and not new head coach, but new. Sorry, I meant new. Daniel's loving that, but no, sorry, new offensive system, I should say.
Yeah, because I mean, Cal Poly was only 4-7 last year, but they did lose a couple of games by one score to teams like Eastern Washington and Portland State. So that could be something to watch because
those are good teams.
Well, yeah, they're pretty good teams for the FCS level, and the they run the triple is like option, the right?
SEC of FCS football.
Watch out, Boise.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't expect Nevada to lose this game. But I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it took them a little while to kind of get a handle on things, especially since we've been talking at length about this, incorporating this new offensive system.
All right. So if we go to game two, let me ask you this. Is it okay if I say Notre Dame? Do you guys care?
I don't care.
Chris?
I have friends who might care, but I don't care.
Because we had the Nevada scenario earlier.
I say Notre Dame.
Do you have a preference, Chris? Is your silence what we need to be paid? I go back and forth for some reason. I'll say Notre Dame or Notre Dame.
What about Notre Dame?
No.
We've pretty much established that that one's a cathedral.
There's that too. It could be also because it could be because I like to listen to Beano Cook. He'd always say Notre Dame, so maybe I go that way because of him. I don't know.
That's reasonable.
That's a good reason. He was a good listen to. Giving you the 1947 Army Navy line. Jeez, how do you remember that from 60 years ago?
Vin Scully.
Or how to grow a beard or something, right? Is that his thing too? There is a beard thing. Don't you remember that? About a couple weeks ago?
Vin Scully makes all things possible.
All right, yeah, excellent. So, okay, let's go with the Fighting Irish. Am I dumb to say this could be at least a struggle for Notre Dame in week one, yes. Week two?
No. Oh, wait. Do I think it's dumb? Yes.
Thank you. Here's the thing. They play at – well, crap. This is not a good example, as I'm about to say. They play at Texas the week
Texas
before.
Texas could be as talented as Nevada.
Not that that matters because Texas is crap. Who would win, Nevada or Texas? Is that what we need to discuss? It's one day less. They played Notre Dame plays Texas on Sunday. Tougher opponent than Cal Poly and Nevada. And then it's both are technically road games because it's at Austin. They fly home. I just think, look at the offense. I think at least minimum they'll give Notre Dame a struggle, at least in the first half, because it's one of those things like – you come out swinging first, you box the MMA guys, like, what does this guy do? They get a couple big plays, or they have a drive that they're not sure what's going to happen, and they go up, they score a touchdown first, they give a Babber back there, get an INT or something.
Surprising Notre Dame all you want. What's the defense going to do? As soon as Notre Dame gives up that touchdown, they could storm down within three plays and score it right back.
Quit poking holes in my theory here.
I mean, this is the Notre Dame team that was down to its backup quarterback at times throughout the year. And they didn't lose to like the number two and number three teams in the country by that much. To me, that's a team that's going to compete for a playoff spot. And, if I'm being real, Nevada doesn't have a chance in this game. They're going to get steamrolled.
Will be closer than Texas A&M last year, or worse?
It'll be worse.
Yeah, well, Texas A&M wasn't that good.
Okay, because Nevada was somewhat in that game until some late turnovers. That as well is my point, too, yeah. I just think, let me put it this way, I don't think they'll win. I think the odds are out. I don't want to look them up. I think it was like 2 touchdowns or 3 touchdowns. I just think this could be closer than expected for at least like almost the first half. Is that somewhat reasonable? Can you guys give me that, maybe?
What I will say is that Notre Dame is going to be replacing a lot at receiver, which if Nevada can solve its front seven situation and get guys, who can show a little bit of ability as pass rushers, they're replacing their top three receivers. And so that's the kind of thing where it could make.
Yeah, I'll give you the first half, but I'm not going to give you.
Okay. But I have a sneaky suspicion, but that shouldn't be correct. They, like I said, if they're going to that good compete for playoff, which people were kind of saying, because they're, I think the early rankings have them, what, top 10 or so for the most part? These extremely early top 25.
Extremely early top 25 list. 25 is also our open from San Diego.
It's a loss. So.
Go Aztecs.
Go Aztecs. All right, so it's a loss. So we'll see. This will be what this will do at the bare minimum. Give a good test to know kind of where they're at a little bit, how well they might compete, or it may not because it's week two and they're still learning their offense. But then they play Buffalo at home.
Absolutely, they should win that.
They should win that, I guess. I don't. I haven't looked into Buffalo too much.
Yes, but remember because
Buffalo
took
taken a pretty big step down the past couple years, right?
Was that Akron? Was I crap? I'm sorry.
I thought that was Akron.
Buffalo played 2 years.
Yeah, so it was Akron. Buffalo. The Zips. Buffalo Air Force, I believe. Right?
You know, Buffalo's another one of those teams that's replacing a lot of key players, you know, at those really critical positions. They're replacing the quarterback. And I don't know that they know who their starting quarterback is going to be. They're replacing their leading rusher. They're replacing their top two receivers. So, you know, if they're going on the road to face the Wolfpack, you know, that's the kind of thing where Nevada should be able to kind of
they went 5-7
to their advantage and win this game comfortably.
And at home, they lost to Nevada in the last quarter. Lost 24-21, but they showed flashes of decency. They destroyed Ohio 41-17. They beat Miami of Ohio, which didn't say that much. Kent State, which turned out to be okay last year, but even against the top outside of Central Michigan, against the top three teams in the MAC, they lost 28-23 to Bowling Green. Lost 41-30 Illinois, and lost 42-21 again. That's a big loss to U.S. Akron. This is a team that could show either really good potential or really bad potential. So you put them on the road versus Nevada. I think this is going to give Nevada a challenge, but Nevada should easily pull through with the victory. No problems.
The only thing with this, Buffalo plays an FCS team week one or off week two. So it won't be a huge travel concern because we know Nevada is a pretty big home field advantage. That's something to look out for just as for what they're presenting. Like if they have a new quarterback, what are they going to really show when they're playing Albany? And then they have a week off where Nevada's playing Notre Dame on the road.
Yeah, I think Buffalo will be okay on the season, but I don't know if they're going to have the offense to keep up with Nevada in this matchup.
I would agree. So their final non-conference game is playing Purdue, and
is that a place
in West Lafayette, Indiana? It says right here, Ross Aid Stadium, West Lafayette, Indiana. TV and time it TBA Saturday, okay. September 24th.
I thought Purdue didn't exist.
It is a place.
Do we have Eli talk about Purdue football?
Is it just because you never see them on television?
Oh, there you go.
I mean, to me, I had chalked this game up as a win for Nevada because
it should be.
It should be. And I'll tell you why. It's because I think this is a matchup that favors what I think the Wolfpack's strengths are. You know, we talked at length about running the football, and Purdue had the worst run defense in the Big Ten last year, which, you know, granted, giving up 214 yards per game, giving up, you know, 5.1 yards per carry in the grand scheme of things isn't all that great. But, you know, this is a team that's not very good. And if Nevada wants to prove itself as a possible contender in the Mountain West, this is a game that they should win.
I agree with that.
I agree 100% with you. Here's another reason. When they played Illinois – and Indiana, they give up more than 300 yards on the ground. And they lost 4 or 5. They went 2-10 last year. They're terrible. But giving up 382 yards to Illinois, that's ridiculous. That's 10 yards a carry. Almost 10 yards per carry. Versus an Illinois team who was playing with the interim coach last year.
So then what's weird to me, since we all seem to be in agreement. Yo, Bills, wait, what'd you say?
You're
going Boilermakers for the victory?
Who's replacing a whole bunch of different pieces. You're talking about a team that has been losing to FCS teams the last couple of years, the last 3 years. They don't want to lose against some plucky Nevada team. I think this is the game where they're probably going to try and show that they belong in the Group of Five conference. And I think this is going to be a good challenge for Nevada. And a game that Nevada should win, but they're not going to.
Is this my Boise State fan, Chris, talking about the hatred towards Nevada?
This is more of a clear-sighted neutral. If I was looking at it
looking
from
at
Boise
Nevada.
State point of view, I would say that basically Nevada has zero chance.
Let me put this to you. Last year, Purdue lost to Marshall, who's pretty usually pretty good, but they also lost to Bowling Green.
Don't put still me.
Yeah, but still, it's just. I know it's a terrible comeback.
See, I think of this game the same way that I thought about UNLV at Central Michigan last year.
Yeah,
it's kind
I'm
of to me, it's
that.
Kind of the non-conference.
This is a game that Nevada should win, but most likely they will not.
Okay, I'm going victory there. So. All right, so let's not go game by games. We've already gone like 50 minutes here tonight. Jeez. Good point. But so here's kind of how the schedule plays out. They don't have a bye week till Halloween weekend, October 29th. The first set of conference games set up pretty nicely. At Hawaii, well, we discussed that, not the best track record, but at Hawaii, hosting Fresno, going to San Jose, hosting Wyoming at Reno. Out of that stretch, is it really? No. Do you think it's 4-0 possibly? No. Is that too much to ask for? Maybe
no.
Will they go 4-0?
No.
No, of course not.
It's only
what
one.
Chris? What's your most likely slip up game in that stretch? Is it one or more than one that you could see? Hawaii.
Oh God, I can't believe it's Fresno.
So who is it then? Tell us. Well, at home? What about you, Matt?
I had them at 2-2 over that stretch. I have them beating Hawaii and Wyoming, and I have them losing to Fresno and San Jose State.
Interesting.
See, to me, one of the lingering questions I had when I was thinking about, you know, the questions that I had about this defense is how well are they going to handle quarterbacks that can move? Because I think if Fresno State can get their quarterback situation figured out, I think Chase and Virgil is the kind of quarterback that could give that defense problems. And I feel the same way about Kenny Potter at San Jose State. I think both those games are going to be competitive, but I mean, I have my doubts about this defense being able to step up and support the offense. And I have a question about the offense's ability to be a functional passing.
Obviously,
attack.
It should be mentioned that Brian Hill is going to give Nevada's defense a run for their money.
That's one of the games I think they likely could lose. Because if Brian Hill is going to, even though it's midseason, Nevada's defense should be settled in. It's still Brian Hill. Probably, no, will be, I don't care. I don't want to look at Notre Dame's roster. I don't care. Brian Hill will be the best running back they faced all year at that point.
And they lost that game last year in Laramie.
Wait, Nevada lost that game?
It was one of their worst performances the entire year. And you know, I watched
I
several of their games,
that.
And that was the worst that I saw them play all season long. So, So, you know, Wyoming is not going to be any great shakes, but you absolutely cannot dismiss it.
28-21, Wyoming victory last year. That's the game. Even though it's at home, I just think Brian Hill is, and if Sean Wick's still the running back, or he's still the backup, those two guys, Brian Hill by himself, but I think they'll go 3-1. I would probably say, like, order of losses, Wyoming. I just don't like that Hawaii because historically they've always been bad at Hawaii. And you got Nick Rolovich coaching his old team. Not that there's revenge, but familiarity, and just both sides will kind of want that win more than they probably would say or would. They'll never admit it, even though.
Was that the game, was that the game where
we
I talk, said,
who was it we talked? I talked with recently my radio Hawaii show. Who was it?
3-9, that they were one of their wins. Yeah. No, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Was that Sam?
Versus Nevada? Possibly. I just, it's just historic that they're, Nevada's not very good at Hawaii. Maybe that shouldn't be the case, but they'll probably go 3-1, and I think they'll lose to Wyoming because if that front, you lose your front seven, and who knows how established it'll be. Sitting here in the summertime, that's probably the most likely loss. And I wouldn't be surprised they lose two, but my confidence level will be 3-1 at that point during that stretch. And Matt's going 2-2.
So then what about this November slate? For those who aren't following along, you know, after Halloween, November 5th, through the end of the season, you go at New Mexico, home for San Diego State, home for Utah State, and then at
all
UNLV to close
potential
out the year.
Really good rushing teams.
For the Fremont Cannon.
Here's my crazy bold prediction.
Potential,
are you ready for this? Are you
I wouldn't
on?
Say that's like a complete bold prediction because I'm
they're
right
gonna
there
lose
with
all
you.
Four of those games.
So
really, okay. So
we
why
haven't
do
talked
you
about New Mexico
they could
yet,
lose all those
but
games.
I have a feeling that all three of us are going to be very high on New Mexico, especially with what they did last year. Yeah. San Diego State,
even though
is just
Presley,
some sort
okay
of demolish. I don't think that any team in the West has a chance against San Diego State. And you give San Diego State room to run, and then, oh, wait, you close up the run, and then all of a sudden Christian Chapman has 6 seconds to pass. He's going to get the ball out pretty easily. Utah State, there's a lot Hopefully. Of question marks there, but there's also a lot of potential marks. This, I think the Utah State game is going to be the one that Nevada has the most potential to win. More than UNLV. And remember, it's because
more than UNLV.
And remember, it's because I'm very high on UNLV to have all of their pieces. Remember, we had questions about them, but we also said that they should have a lot of resolved pieces as a young team at the very end of the season.
As for what I would say, it's not far off because New Mexico, we'll get into them later, but Lamar Jordan, the quarterback, can run a lot. They have Taj. They still have Taj Gibson, correct? Tarion Gibson? Well, somebody called him Taj once. So I go with Taj Gibson just because. Like you said, New Mexico, it's on the road, and remember, they almost won the Mountain Division last year. Had they beat Air Force, they had played San Diego State in the title game last year. So, like I said, the running is the key there. San Diego State, I think Nevada's offense, if it's as good as we think it could be, at least with returning talent, could put up enough points. What I mean by that is like maybe 17 points, which is not a ton, but a reasonable amount more than they're probably used to giving up to make it somewhat close. But I don't think they'll beat the Aztecs. In Utah State, they do lose four linebackers to the NFL who are currently on a roster, either drafted or paid free agents. They do have Kent Myers back as the guy. They have Devontae Hayes, correct? Or running back?
Devontae Mays.
Mays, that's it. Sorry, I'm getting two guys mixed up. Yeah, Devontae Mays. I think I could see 2-2, but I could see 0-4. It wouldn't surprise me anywhere between that stretch. I don't think there's highly unlikely they could win three games, because if I'm going order of victory, like potential victory, I might agree. I think I'll have to agree with Chris and say Utah State could be the number one choice as for a victory. It's at home. It'll be a good clash. The Utah State, they're missing most of their defense as well, even though it's week whatever, week 13 or week 12 near the end of the year. They've always recruited good talent, but name any Mountain West team that lost four players into the NFL one position has been at minimum the same. Probably nobody. I doubt there's been a position group that had four players in the NFL in 1 year. That's okay. Most likely, that's Fresno the other State team. Receivers. What, linebacker probably or defensive line?
Fresno State receivers.
Okay.
Well, there's few and far between. Yes. Well, I mean at one time though. I'm not saying like when you had Devontae Adams, all those guys, West Wentworth and stuff. I'm talking losing at one time, like they're there now and gone the next year. Few and far between. I don't know. There's good talent there, obviously, but I'm saying lose at one point, they're all gone. I'd probably get Utah State, UNLV, New Mexico, San Diego State. And
see, to me, it comes down to one big question. Is Nevada going to be able to stop the run? Because if you're looking at the breakdown of their rushing defense numbers last year, you know, in four November games last year, they gave up 5.3 yards per carry. And if you compare that to what they were doing in October, you know, they were much better in October when they beat teams like New Mexico, and they were competitive with, you know, UNLV. And that got them in trouble late in the year when they were losing games to Utah State and to, you know, San Diego State. So, you know, if they can stop the run, I think a lot of these games are going to be competitive. If they can't, then they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Well, they gave up 1,000 yards their final four games of the season. Exactly. That's almost half their rushing yards.
Exactly. And so this is one of those situations where I'm not certain whether they're going to have those answers, you know, whether depth issues are going to creep up by that time of the year, and whether these teams that are predominantly run based are going to be able to take advantage of that.
The weird thing is they have enough, like, you're exactly correct. We don't know what the rush defense will be, but then again, we say their offense could be good, but we don't know what their offense is going to be either. We're making it seem like, oh, they'll be fine, they'll be good. That's the expectation with James Butler, Tyler Stewart, the returning receivers in line, but we don't know. And your rush defense is the biggest concern, losing that many guys, but we literally know, 5% what the offense will be. We can go through Montana State. We can go through New Hampshire. How they improved for FIU as his OC in 1 year. But we don't know what's really going to go down, and that's tough to know, to predict what they're going to be.
And keep in mind, you know, the other big question I have is, are they going to be able to throw the ball? Tyler Stewart's best game last year came against New Mexico when they won 35-17. And he was 16 of 19 with a couple touchdowns and a quarterback rating near 200. You know, I'm not saying that's the numbers he's going to have to put up week in and week out, but he's going to have to do better than the 56% that he did last year if this team wants to survive November.
What do you think he needs to do then to make sure they're successful?
I mean, to me, if he can get back to maybe where they were two years ago, not two years ago is a bad example, but, you know, it wasn't that long ago, back in like 2013 when Fajardo was under center, where they were completing 66% of their passes. So, I mean, to me, it's kind of like with UNLV, where if you can get to like 60-62%, that's the number for me where they're going to be competitive week in and week out. But I have my doubts as to whether they're actually going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same slot here. I think the peak, the absolute peak of this team is if all the pieces fall into place, the offense is fine, the defense shapes up very, very quick. I think peak, this team could theoretically be 10-2. I think on the low end though, this team could very easily be 3-9. My prediction so, is actually start a very even, moderate throwing out these numbers. Seven.
What's your prediction for the year?
Well, I mean, there's not bowl games though. It actually no might be game. A bowl game.
Well, looks like
right
well,
exactly.
What's their APR score?
They should be.
Oh,
they're
are the they nerds there in Reno right,
theoretically. they should beat Cal Poly. They should beat Buffalo. They should beat Hawaii. They should beat San Jose State, and they should beat Wyoming. But I don't see them after Wyoming. I don't see them winning the rest of those games, and that's going to lead to 5-7. No, I said no Purdue.
Not Purdue. I'm double checking there. That's all I'm getting at. So.
You mean 10-2?
So if they're going to go 9-3, where do those extra wins come from then?
Yeah, the loss basically gets to Notre Dame.
Or 10-2, yeah. Where do these wins come from? That's a pretty big jump.
But that's also making the assumption. That's also making the assumption that, like I said, the offense is solved very, very early in the season, and the defensive line just shapes up, and the front seven just basically kills it. All those wins... Like I said, all those wins except for Notre Dame and San Diego State could be complete and total wins. I mean, you're looking at a very potentially dangerous Nevada team if you have somebody who can harness that. If you can have somebody who can harness that nature and basically apply it at all times, but that's where coaching comes into play, and I'm not sure that Olean can do that.
I kind of agree with you. Daniel was probably clapping his hands off because he does like Napoleon. I kind of agree with you that, like, just based on who the other team brings to the table, Notre Dame and San Diego State are the only, like you said, are the only teams that'll probably win, lose for sure. Like, New Mexico, we know they're a pretty good team. But people still think, well, it's New Mexico or Utah State. They've always been very good or well above average. They should. Nevada should lose to them. My ceiling would be 9-3. I think because that last stretch is going to be tough. I don't care how good you are. That's a very difficult stretch. Even with two road games and two home games and a rival mixed in, conference champ mixed in, and two of the most potent running attacks in the conference as well. If I'm going like surefire losses, it'd be Notre Dame, San Diego State, and I guess Utah State. It's just two of those last four, but I think they're going to go a bowl game. They're going to beat Cal Poly. They're going to beat Buffalo. They're going to beat Purdue. They'll probably – here's the thing. For me, they need to have 5 wins by their bye week to have a shot at a bowl game. I think they're going to end up 6-6. Just because at this point of the year, we don't really know, and we're not like we're just throwing darts or guessing, but we really don't know. We've already discussed enough of what to expect. We think they'll be good. We think the defense will be bad for at least the first half of the year or so. But I think they'll get it together enough to win go 6-6.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the peak is they're basically like the Mountain West version of Northern Illinois, where they lead with the run, but the quarterback is able to make plays. You know, Tyler Stewart basically morphs into Drew Hare and scores like, you know, 10, 12 touchdowns on the year. And the offense can score with anybody. Like to me, the benchmark, the ceiling is if this offense averages like 30 points a game. Because if they could do that, they could beat just about anybody else in the conference. Because it's not like the other teams in the division, especially besides San Diego State, have really outstanding defenses. You know, because now, you know, because if they can score 30 a game, now all of a sudden you're talking about turning that game against New Mexico into a track meet. You're talking about turning that game against UNLV into a track meet in Fresno State, San Jose State. And are those teams going to be able to keep up? You know, I think San Diego State's the one team with their defense that could possibly slow it down. So to me, this, you know, the ceiling, if everything breaks right and this offense becomes one of the top two or three in the conference,
match with me.
This is a team that could win 10 games. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh.
Yes!
Which is why I have them at 5-7 as well.
And you know what's weird about that? You say 5-7. Chris says 5-7. I go 6-6. But would we still put this as the second best team in the West Division, perhaps?
Hold on. I wrote this down. Hold on. Yes?
Oh.
No, wait. Because they lose to UNLV. So,
so did we get an over-under total for Nevada? I don't. That's
we did. Curious. Let's discuss that.
I'm do you know what it is, Chris?
Do you want to guess?
So we're, once again, we're right there.
It's 6.5.
Six and a half. This is the only time nobody's picked the over.
That's not true. I had the under for Hawaii as well.
I mean, one of three of us. I mean, not all together, but between the collective us, we've gone one over and one under. This is the first time we're all under. But yeah, we can see it happening, though. That's the thing. We could all see them getting more than that many wins.
Right? Oh, you don't think so? Okay.
I don't think so. No.
Absolutely. I don't think it's a stretch. I think it's very
good. Well, no, I don't think it's a stretch. You know, one of the other things to keep in mind, too, is that, you know, one of the hard and fast rules of college football is that, you know, turnover luck usually regresses to the mean. And last year, Nevada was +9. So if they aren't that lucky again,
with an inexperienced defense.
Yeah. And I mean, Bill C brought up the point that they were 3-3 in one score games last year. And, you know, is there any reason at all to think that that's going to be that much different in 2016?
That's a good point, because that could be those. It says splitting. You could lose all those games.
If they go 5-7,
no.
Is Bill Polian the coach this time next year?
Ooh.
Is your fourth.
What year is he in? What is this is going to be his third year? Let's find out real quick. Hold on. It depends on money's always an issue. That's as Matt can say. It's probably a reason why Tim Drueter is still there, given one last chance, cleaning house, and him being the head coach. He's been there since 13.
It's his fourth year.
I think if he's 5-7, what do you say, Matt? No.
I mean, I think the expectation is they're competing for a division title this year. And, you know, a lot of that is going to depend on which guys of his guys, because, you know, they're at the point now where this is his team, his recruits Correct. And all that. His guys need to step up in order for him to kind of keep his job and keep being able to keep the job going.
Yeah, this is going to have to be bowl game or bust.
Bowl game or bust for you, Chris?
Nobody's
going to compete with San Diego State. That's the problem.
But let's also throw this. Nevada didn't just get a $2 million anonymous donor. You've got to think about what the alumni and what the fan base is thinking right now. Obviously, the school down south. They're thinking a little bit, the fans are thinking a little bit more highly of. Tony Sanchez is finding a way to get things done. He's finding a way to bring money into the program.
It's actually his third. It's the school's
and Reno has
only
not
third
been getting that
seven figure deal from a donation.
Or if they have, Chris Murray hasn't been reporting it. And you know Chris Murray to report pretty much everything on the basketball. Hi, Chris. Correct. Shout out to you.
Correct. Are you listening? Maybe let us know. I could see. I think a bowl game should be the expectation because he's been to two bowl games and they won the Arizona bowl game versus Colorado State last year, tied for second in the West. I think if they're 5-7, but like similar to last year where they had like maybe a couple one score game differences for losses, that could keep him his job because. Fourth year is a pretty big deal because the buyout's pretty low. So, no, I got to go bowl game. He has to go to bowl game again. Unless there's some fluke, like you could tell, like, oh, they lost because of
the Michigan, what was that Michigan game, Michigan State last year, the punter drops it or something, they return it, something like that that determines a bowl game or not a bowl game. It'll take something like that where he's not going to be back. But if my prediction of 6-6, he'll be back.
Is Brian Polian the Mountain West's Glenn Mason?
That's a good comparison. I almost think that Brian Polian is the Mountain West Tom O'Brien. Boston College. What the hell? Ooh, Boston there College. You go.
There you go. Boston College.
No, North Carolina. He was at.
Isn't he Boston College?
Back in the NFL now.
NC State, right?
He was at NC State.
Oh, wait, we're both wrong? Okay.
I mean, the other thing to keep in mind, too, is, you know, over the last couple of years, they're getting out-recruited by UNLV as well. I had to go and double-check what their composite ranking was on 24/7 Sports. They were 10th in the conference this past February as far as recruits. Ouch. And that was down from 6th when they were more or less even with UNLV. So, you know, to me, I think that in itself creates a lot more pressure too, because, you know, if he can't get wins, chances are he's probably not going to get the level of recruits that the program needs in order to succeed.
It's also, well, sure. It's also, I'd say it's those guys probably aren't playing this year anyways, if they're ranked 5th or 10th in the conference, but it does hurt down the road stuff. Like, next 2017 and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying they're still getting out recruited by UNLV. They're still getting out recruited by Fresno. They're still getting out recruited by San Jose State. They got out recruited by Hawaii this year.
Jeez. Grandpa Norm on his deathbed out recruited them.
No. That was Nick Rolovich at this point.
Well, I mean, well, you still got the stink of Chow on there from last year.
I think there might be more pressure on Polian to win now than there is on any other coach in the conference.
Is he the most coach likely to be gone? Is it him and Tim Drueter?
Yes.
Okay. Well, somebody, a quick question we didn't get to. It's about the quarterback situation. They're asking about Hunter Frolick. I would say he's a sophomore. He's from right there in Sparks, Nevada. If he's going to outperform Tyler Stewart, this would be it. Because new offense, but I don't think that'll be the case. He'll be starting next year, most likely.
Yeah, we'll see if he's learning a new offensive system this time next year.
Well, there's that too. We already went over Cramsey's impact OC. The only other question, there was some guy from, we joked around, I think he just writes for the Examiner, Daniel Connolly says, can Nevada go 10-2 like a really dumb writer thinks they can? No. Apparently, Matt, Chris thinks that's possible.
Forget, I mean, there's like the slight possibility. Okay.
I think where we would come at this high win total would be because the opponent's not necessarily of Nevada. Would that be accurate on both your parts too, maybe?
Bring it.
More of who they're playing than the team themselves.
We'll go with that.
Okay. That's all we're getting at, Daniel. So if we're saying like 9 wins, maybe it's because Utah State may not be as good, or New Mexico's New Mexico, even though they're getting better. But all right, I think we've done enough. We have gone, let's check the timer here, 77 minutes right now.
You're welcome, America.
Yes. Nevada. Hey, if that's the case, how about you help us out? Buy some stocks.
Rate us 5 stars on your podcasting platform of choice.
Exactly. iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud.
Pocket Cast.
Find ways to give us money.
Google Play.
Et cetera.
I don't know if you can leave rated to Pocket Cast, but if you can, do it. Yes, go to bombas.com/MountainWest for most amazing socks ever. Apparently, Eli was blasting this over his Bluetooth with his windows down. And he got apparently an odd look from somebody when we were talking about Bombas socks. So if that person's listening, hello, Eli's neighbor in the car. This is more Bombas socks talk. Great athletic leisure wear, bright colors. Like I said, they donate a pair when you buy a pair. That's a pretty cool deal to help other people out. You can disguise them as dress socks because you can get black or even gray with the
doesn't matter. Black and gray socks work for business. That's the easiest trick. That's the oldest trick in the book. Why buy nice business socks that are uncomfortable? Buy Bombas leisure socks, athletic socks that are black or gray. And you get 20% off your order when you do that. So throw us a bone if you want to do that, and rate us on the podcast service of your choice. So any quick Uncle final Burn thoughts on Nevada or Nevada?
No, I think I'm good.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. That's correct. We're trying to stay away from timely news, but that's okay. And apparently Big 12 is not going to expand this year. So sorry, Rams fans and those Aztec fans who think that's a possibility.
The one fan.
Our guy in our who put the comment there today. Are we talking Fresno State next week? Yes. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Fresno State. All right, we'll talk Fresno State next week. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. All of our podcasts, we'll put the link for the whole feed if you want to listen to all of our preview shows for the 2016 season. Follow us on Facebook or like whatever it's called. Like us on Facebook, I guess that's the right term, Mountain West Connection. We want to get to 3,000 likes by the Hawaii game in Australia. I think that's doable. So we'll see you guys next time, and enjoy the 80 minutes of goodness of what this podcast was. Good night. But it makes your rage glisten. Our voices bow the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other. And our Mountain West matters. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kids can grin the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you love this podcast too.